Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Lord be with you. Let us pray. Grant us, O Lord, to trust in you with all our hearts. For as you always resist the proud who confide in their own strength, so you never forsake those who make their boast of your mercy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. Loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. A reading from the letter of Paul to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, and now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but much more than a slave, a beloved brother. Especially to me, that how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. And if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able, with 10,000, to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000. If he cannot then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. And Moses said to the people, I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Choose life. There's an ancient legend that I may have shared with you before. I don't remember, and that's the reality of being my age. But it's one of my favorite stories, so bear with me if I tell it to you again. It tells about the origin of humanity. There was a great war in heaven involving three different groups. Lucifer, the angel of light, was the leader of the rebellion to overthrow God. But he and his allies were defeated and cast out of heaven by God's angels. That was the second group. The third group was the smallest. It was made up of those who could not make up their minds. They could neither say yes to Satan nor to God. And these undecided angels later became the human race. You and I know that life is nothing but a series of decisions. And we undecided angels certainly have a hard time making them. Some of them seem simple enough. Others are fraught with danger and difficulty. And most of them have an element in common, and that is the element of commitment. Just look at the choices we make in our lives. Are you going to get married? Are you going to have children? What career are you going to pursue? What church are you going to attend? Are you going to retire? When? Are you going to move to a retirement center? You see, throughout life, you and I make choices. And the scripture appointed for today confronts us with the necessity of making a decision for God. And they warn of the consequences of such a decision. This is the most important choice any one of us makes. And yet for many of us, it's almost a decision by default. Someone else may have made it for you, and you haven't really examined the choice and its meaning for you. Our baptismal promises are often broken. We may never even think about them. We may never live into them. They simply might not be a reality for us. They lie dormant in the recesses of our hearts and our souls. In the reading from the Hebrew Scriptures today, Moses confronts his people with the reality of how they are going to live their lives. Hanging in the balance is the gaining or the losing of the blessed life that God has intended for them. They have been chosen. They are the elect. And they have been elected by the Lord God. Now they must respond out of their own free will to follow the path of blessedness. And no one else can choose it for them. The choice cannot be avoided or postponed. There can be no more fence setting. They can no longer coast through life. The so-called freedom of uncommitment is not an option. They can love, they can obey, they can hold fast to God, or they can turn away. They can bow down to other gods and serve them. The decision has enormous consequences. Consequences for them and for their descendants. And Moses told them, you've got to choose. So, what does it mean to say yes to God? What does it involve existentially in our experiences, where you and I exist? I'm not talking about coming to church and participating in church services or liturgies like baptism or confirmation. We know what that looks like. But what does it mean to say yes to God in our lives? What will our lives look like, be like, if we say yes to God? I believe that it means that our lives will have a different orientation than before we said yes to God. When Bishop Young comes for his annual visitation, he always invites you to come forward and renew your commitment to Christ. And we just simply fill the aisle as we come up to say yes to God. When we say yes, you and I are going to have new priorities. Things which once seemed important no longer do. We'll find ourselves at odds with many of the things that our society and our culture deem as normal or expected. We'll have a new perspective, a new way of looking at things, and certainly, certainly, a new way of looking at people. To say yes to God will not mean that things will be easier, or that we will have all the answers, or not that from time to time we'll feel a bit lost. This Labor Day weekend, a lot of people are traveling, obviously. I'm old enough, and I think you might be, to remember the time when we had paper maps stuffed in the glove box or in the pocket of the door. Nowadays, we just simply put our destination into the GPS and off we go. A map is a comforting thing, even if that voice on the GPS is sometimes so irritating. But it's a good thing to know where you are going. C.S. Lewis once said that God does not give us maps for our spiritual journeying. No, he says God gives us a compass. Lewis was responding to our very human wish to have things all spelled out, to have all the answers neatly presented for our journey. And you know people like that. I know people who read the Bible expecting to get a very clear map. But that's not the way it is. Lewis maintained that instead of a map, you and I are given something much better, much more demanding, much more challenging. It's something that insists that we be adults. And that something is our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, our Lord is not some neat, predictable map or GPS for our lives, because there just can't be such a thing. Instead, he is our compass. It's a reference point to which we must look again and again to get our bearings. The question for each one of us here today is, by what compass are we traveling on life's journey? If you choose Christ as your compass, you need to be aware of what that means. When Jesus confronted people, it always involved a choice. A choice between old attachments and a new life. And of course, that is a most difficult choice. In today's gospel reading, Jesus makes the startling statement that in order to be his disciple, you must hate your family. You must hate even life itself. I don't know about you, but when I read that, I'm startled. And then I remember that Jesus was using the Middle Eastern way of getting his listeners' attention by hyperbole and by exaggeration. But his point is clear. When we are deeply, deeply committed to the kingdom and its values, when we are committed to the wonder and joy and grace of following Christ, then you and I realize that the attachments to everything and everyone else are not as important as we thought. I believe that Jesus wants us to know that choosing him and choosing to follow him has profound consequences. And he is saying quite clearly, be aware of the consequences of your choice. He's telling us that our decision to follow him, to be a pilgrim, to be a disciple, must come first before anything else, before possessions, the things of this world. Not even members of our own family can take precedence, because that might interfere with us growing into the fullness God desires for every one of us. And please know this. It is for our sake that Jesus tells us to decide to entrust our lives to him and to put him first. That is the choice. That is the defining decision. Everything else is secondary. And when we have made that choice, then you and I can grow from strength to strength in Christ. Amen.
Please stand with me and let us share our faith together by reciting the Nicene Creed found on page 10 in your bulletins. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen, we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things came to be. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Church of God, that it may be filled with truth and love and be found without fault at the day of your coming, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Michael, our presiding bishop, for George, our own bishop, and for all bishops and other ministers, and for all the holy people of God, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who fear God and believe in you, Lord Christ, that our divisions may cease and that all may be one in you, as you and the Father are one, we pray to you, O God, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the mission of the church, that in faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the world, that a spirit of respect and forbearance may grow among nations and peoples, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in positions of public trust, especially Barack, our president, Bill and Nathan, our governors, that they may serve justice and promote the dignity and freedom of every person, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the poor, the persecuted, the sick, and all who suffer, for refugees, prisoners, and all who are in danger, that they may be relieved and protected, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, for those who are present and for those who are absent, that we may be delivered from hardness of heart and show forth your glory in all that we do, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those on our prayer list, Margaret, Jean, Steve, Nicole, J.R., Blair, Michelle, Joan, Kevin, Paul, Marie, Chuck, Jimmy, Martha, Renee, Russell, Jaden, Ryan, Teddy, Richard, Wendell, Fran, Jeff, Regina, Irene, Larry, Jenny, Michael, Joe, Margaret, Laura, Bea, Lynn, Shay, Margaret, Don, Ed, Doug, Cecilia, Ed, Pat, Eddie, Eric, Alberta, and for all who have commended themselves to our prayers, for our families, friends, and neighbors, that being freed from anxiety, they may live in joy, peace, and health. We pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have died in the communion of your church, and those whose faith is known to you alone, that with all our saints, that they may have rest in that place where there is no pain or grief, but life eternal, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Are there other intercessions? We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially Laressa Gould Coultry, Rosemary Park, Joseph Ian Johnson, Abigail Nicole Johnson, Debbie McGrath, Vicki Whalen Barker, and Karen Hawkins. We give thanks for those celebrating an anniversary this week, especially Hilda and Michael Baer, Kay and David Hackett, Joyce and Bob Marsden, and Melissa and Ralph Maples. Rejoicing in the fellowship of the ever-blessed Virgin Mary, blessed Thaddeus, and all the saints, let us commend ourselves and one another and all our life to Christ our God. To you, O God.
For yours is the majesty, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Good morning. Several announcements to which I will call your attention. I would like to once again express our appreciation to Sarah Glenn, our guest organist, while Andy's out of town. Sarah, thank you so much for being here. Next week, the adult Christian education class resumes, and the book that we'll be reading and discussing has an interesting title, Being a Progressive Christian is Not for Dummies, Nor for Know-It-Alls, An Evolution of Faith. A friend of mine who is a priest has used this book and found it to be very, very helpful to his congregation. And so I encourage you to come. It starts at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings with a brief breakfast, and then we'll start digging into this book. So that starts next week on the 11th. This being the first Sunday of the month, two things always occur on the first Sunday of the month. Blood pressure checks. Our parish nurse, wherever she is, she's not, she usually stands up to check if I'm going to say it. But Courtney and other members of the committee will be in the Wellness Center if you want to stop there for a blood pressure check. And then the other thing is that the loose offering on the first Sunday of the month is designated for the rector's discretionary fund. Are there any other announcements to be made? Yes, Chris. Family Promise is an important outreach ministry. Yes. We do encourage you to volunteer to help out for that important ministry. See Chris and be a part of that. All right. Any other announcements? Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give you thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, for you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we're bold to say, "Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died and rose for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Gene, I'll lay my hands upon you in the name of the Father and of the Son. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you always. Amen.